The wait is over. Football is here, and so is DraftKings. DraftKings is now live in all 50 states. One app, every sport, nationwide. New DraftKings customers, sign up with code 2400, spend $5 to get $200 in rewards within 21 days. Includes all markets. That's code 2400 in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. Connecticut, call 888-789-777. Or visit ccpg.org on behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas. Bet tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Canada. Bet with DraftKings Sportsbook to get bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Or trade with DraftKings Predictions to get predictions dollars that expire in 1 year. Event contract trading involves risk of loss. Predictions offer void in New York. Non-withdrawable rewards issued as $50 click-to-claims every 7 days for 21 days. Terms at dkng.co/offer. Limited time offer. Nationwide based on sportsbook predictions and free-to-play sports contest availability. Varies by state.
A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between thinking about photography school and selling your portraits online. It's the difference between giving away those cookies you just made for free and running your cookie empire. A beautifully designed Squarespace website is the difference between having a movie reviewing hobby and a movie reviewing career. Squarespace, because no matter what you're into, a website makes it real. Use offer code DIFFERENCE for 50% off select plans. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.
You know how we do. The barbecues are cranking up. Traffic sucks. But Jet football's back tonight. Giant football back tomorrow afternoon. And this is the best time of year. Justin Pugh's coming in right now. Former New York Giant and, of course, Syracuse University graduate, like all the great ones are. What's up, pal? How are you doing? Let's have them all set up there. Mr. Italy now, too, if I have that correct. We'll talk to Justin just to segregate your calls as well. Turn his mic on there, if you don't mind, Petey. How you doing, pal?
I'm good. I didn't know Little Wayne was a fullback.
Little Wayne was a fullback.
Little
which
Wayne
is
was
hard
a
to believe.
What are the odds? I love your response. You're like, fullback.
What, but you see Plaxico's response? He's like, you played football.
Was it a wing tee?
Exactly. Called it a wing tee. How you doing, bud?
I'm good. I was just walking down the street. Pete texted me. Said you want to come hang out for the
show.
Yeah,
why not, right? Good. I heard you're going to play the wheel in a half hour, too.
I grabbed a couple boxes of pizza.
From across the street?
No, this place, Ceres, C-E-R-E-S.
Oh, that's the new hot place. Can't get in there.
Vodka slice, 10 out of 10.
Well, I wouldn't know. No.
Awesome.
I wouldn't know because
my new favorite guest.
Everyone else in the back end. You got to earn it first.
You got to
beat
thank you.
You got to beat me in the wheel.
Oh, well, I host the wheel, so I can't beat Chad. Beat Chad the wheel. But how much weight have you lost since you played?
A lot, like
80?
70 pounds from Tom Coughlin's New York Giants.
Yes. 70, is it that much?
Yeah, 25 from Cliff Kingsbury's Arizona Cardinals.
Well, that's just because Cliff was the coach. Yeah, that had nothing to do with actually
Cliff
playing.
Cliff said, "Hey, we're gonna run. We're gonna go fast."
Yeah, but he hated running. Didn't he? Wasn't he all about just high-octane offense?
He likes to get guys open.
Yeah, I like Cliff Kingsbury offense, by the way.
Awesome.
Not you?
Awesome guy. No, I love Cliff.
Good dude, right?
Great
plus,
dude.
Hot girlfriend for a while there, too.
Cliff's a legend. And if you would walk out after the game, Cliff was hanging with the guys. He was just...
He's relatable.
Relatable, but he's a football mind. Like, I don't know if there's anyone at getting people open
really
as good as Cliff.
He did a great job at Jaden Daniels in that first year before Jaden got hurt, and I thought he was a lock for a head coaching job.
What I'll say is he's going to go to McVay, and McVay has that whole system out there in L.A. It's almost like coach purgatory.
Right.
Cliff's going to get a head job coming out of L.A.
Yeah, I think he's...
Maybe not a head job, O.C., and then head coach.
Yeah, but he'll get a head coach job again.
Yeah.
Because I think people look at Arizona and they go, hey, listen, that's where coaches go to die.
They're revamping everything out there. They've overhauled the whole business side of it. They split up business. And because you got to remember, a lot of these owners have owned these teams or been in the family since 1925. I will say Michael Bidwell has overhauled the business of the Cardinals, separated the church and state businesses in their own place.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I am high on the Arizona Cardinals.
Feed the future.
Whole new facility, the State Farm Stadium. That place is great to play in.
It's a great place to be anyway.
It's a great place.
I went out there when I lived in Philly and I did radio in Philly and I was a beat reporter for the Eagles. I was a beat reporter for the Eagles 95, 96, 97. Yeah, I'm way older than you.
Well, I'm from Philadelphia. That's why I
you're a Council Rock guy, right?
I'm a Council
Rock guy. So I lived in Huntington Valley.
Yeah, of course.
For four or five years. Yeah. Bougie Northeast Philadelphia. Yeah, which is like going to Philly is like going to Nebraska at times. No, but it's a great place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, out there. I remember I went out there. Seth Joyner had just left Philly and gone to Arizona because Buddy Ryan was out there in Arizona. And Buddy Ryan ran practices. Very interesting. Buddy brought out like the best barbecue truck that existed in the state of Arizona. And he brought it out in the morning so the guys could smell it.
Yeah.
And he used it like, if you have a bad practice, you're not getting barbecue.
The barbecue truck is driving off. It'll meet the coaches around back. The players aren't getting anything.
They had the best practices of the week whenever the barbecue truck was out there.
Seth Joyner, great guy. Met him at the Eagles game. A year or two ago, awesome guy.
Yeah, interesting guy because Seth Jordan is one of those guys. He's a sweetheart. He's a good guy. But he has the look of a menace. Like, I don't know, I'm sure across your career, both in college and in the pros, as big a guy and as tough a guy as you might be, you do meet some people along the journey of life where you look at them and you're scared. Seth Jordan is one of those dudes. He looks angry all the time.
I met him over a slice of pizza, this place called Angelo's in Philadelphia.
I know well.
There's
know
a theme
well.
That you see here with me.
Yes,
no matter
you're a
where
pizza
I go,
guy.
I find carbs.
Yeah.
And that's where I met Seth Joyner. Great guy.
Yeah, really good guy. I like him as well. Before I get to the Giants and all that stuff, you're now what, the commissioner of the Italian League?
Yeah, Italy.
Really?
They have American football in Italy.
My son was a running back, just left a D3 school. And somebody reached out to him. I don't know if there are multiple leagues there, so it may not be your league.
One league.
He was offered a job as a running back.
Do you know what team?
I can find out.
Should we call the owner and ask him what he was offering?
Yeah.
I married an Italian girl.
Okay.
I'm from Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah.
Syracuse, I don't know if you know this, we've had a campus in Florence since the 1950s.
I've never known that.
Yeah,
no,
we have a campus.
Because Syracuse, I guess, right?
I think that's where I assume as well.
Yeah.
And then I play for the New York Giants. So I'm a mutt. I'm a mix of, you throw a dart at Europe, you're going to hit, I'm probably 7 to 10% of
it.
Got it. So when I married my wife, my father-in-law is the most Italian-American of all time.
Right.
And he's like, no, you're one of us now. And taught me the ways. We go on our honeymoon. This guy's like, hey, read this book. It's called Playing for Pizza.
John Grisham. I read
John
it.
John Grisham.
Yeah, great book.
They're making it into a movie.
Is that right?
So I read this book and I'm like, I got to learn more.
Let me just tell people, it's the only type of book Grisham ever wrote like that. It's about a fictional quarterback for the Broncos, a Denver team, that has this horrendous Monday night performance. His career ends in dramatic and embarrassing fashion. He decides to hide from the press and everybody's after him. Goes to, I think it was Palermo, goes to Italy.
Yeah.
And then
Parma. The Panthers,
right.
don't say Palermo. The Panthers will get mad.
And winds up, you know, playing football. And obviously people gawk at him. Like, he's the American, the outsider, the ugly American, all that stuff. And falls in love with this small little village and a woman there. And I read it. It's actually a good book.
It's an amazing book. And who would have thought that the only country outside of the U.S., maybe there's a few others, but there's a John Grisham novel about American football, and it's Italy?
Yeah.
For me, it just started to get my wheels turning, the globalization of American football. I was a finance major at Syracuse, and I worked in the off seasons for a single family office and started to see that like sports was becoming an asset class. I can't go buy an NFL team.
No,
right?
We're seeing, never.
Can't go to the college space. That's a mess right now.
Right.
And I'm like, wait, I can go be the only NFL player doing business in Italy.
Awesome.
And you get to go to Italy.
And you ingratiate yourself to your in-laws.
My father.
I told you I was Italian.
I told you I was going to figure it out. So my whole thing is I got to get a rosary blessed for my father-in-law from the Pope, and I'm good to go.
And you'll be all set there,
exactly.
Yeah. So, and they're playing, is a lot of expatriate, a lot of American players over there?
Only two on every
two
team.
Two per team?
And we put a little A on your helmet so everyone knows,
so everyone knows you're the
it's
American.
It's always a quarterback, a receiver, a DN, a cornerback.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it is, basically.
Got it. It's so funny you say that. So my son played football at D3 school in Iowa called Grinnell. And then he got accepted to Villanova, wanted him to go there, a couple years of eligibility left.
Great school.
So he just got accepted to the Masters of Finance program at Villanova. So he gets there, the coaches call him, you know, no guarantee you're going to start, but you know, we love your tape, blah, 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 right? So then Villanova transfers into the Patriot League a couple months ago. The Patriot League and the Ivy League are the only two leagues in college football that do not allow grad students to play football. So my son thinks he's going to continue his college career at a really good program at Villanova, better football than what he played out in Iowa. And then the coach calls him and says, listen, I hate to tell you this, but this call just ended your college career. But in the meantime, he gets a call from a guy in Italy saying,
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Fall is a vibe. So, what's yours? Do you go wild? Or get a little nostalgic? Do you like to cozy up indoors? Or kick it outdoors? Whatever you fall for, get shoes that get you. We've got the trend. You bring the vibes. DSW, let us surprise you.
Best thing that's ever happened to you financially. Go.
Easy. Sold my car on Carvana. Amazing offer.
Really? I hit 200 on the scratcher.
Did the scratcher come to your house and hand you a check?
No.
How many scratchers did you hit to get that? I hit a button on Carvana.com once.
Okay, that's fair.
It's like the lottery, except you always win.
Not like the lottery at all, actually.
Exactly. Inexplicably good. Offers worth bragging about. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
You can get your Master's of Finance here and play football in Italy.
It must have been Rome City Institute. There's only one place where they're offering graduate programs and American kids to come over.
But is that the same league that
and
you guys are in?
We draft kids from Rome City Institute into our league. We actually consider them Italians. You got to realize the book's called Playing for Pizza. You don't get paid to play over there.
No.
You earn the money by going over and you get a free slice after
the game. But I was like, yeah, live in Italy for a year, maybe two. Right, that experience in and of itself is worth it, I think.
100%.
His mom, my wife, did not think it as well.
Well, you guys go over for a few weeks. Syracuse is over there.
I mean,
look, for you guys, it's great. Maybe eventually he might get a little homesick.
Yeah. All right, so do you find yourself now, are you actively watching? Are you vested in, you know, NFL football, the Giants? Like, do you have an idea what's going on with all that?
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously I'm very clued in on what's going on in Italy right now. So
sure.
I could probably name as many Italian players right now. I got my guy Guido Edis over here right now. We got a kid from our youth program over at Fordham playing.
Okay.
But when it comes to the NFL, it has my heart. I'm a pro football guy over college. If I had to choose one or the other. And then obviously the Giants are my team of choice.
What was Tom Coughlin tough on everybody all the time, 24/7? Or were there moments, I assume after you won the Super Bowl, he got softer, but were there moments when he could like put his arm over you, like go have a beer with you and just talk life and that kind of stuff?
Never. Right? Like, I'm still scared of the man. I mean, like, when he looks at you, he's like, am I on time? Am I 5 minutes early?
Right.
And I think they softened him up. So I probably got... In terms of soft on the spectrum, Tom Coughlin soft is still like the hardest hard you're gonna meet.
Yeah, like a drill sergeant when he retires.
I probably got maybe the softest version because guys like Strahan got after him, and then you know like the Elis and the Tucks and all the legends that came and played for Coughlin. But I still just think about him saying this to me as a rookie. It was me and another offensive lineman that got drafted.
And what year was your rookie year?
2013.
Got it. So 2 years after the Super Bowl.
After the Super Bowl, and we can gun into all what happened on that last decade. But I remember Coughlin saying to us at one point, Justin, rookies are supposed to be seen and not heard. Like, stop talking, sit in your seat, shut up. You're here to play football. And it was an amazing chance to play for a man of that caliber. He always started the team meetings and talked about the world and what was going on around the world. He was building better human beings. And I truly believe the way to build a great team is to have the best human beings on it, guys that care for each other, guys that love to play with one another. And Coughlin did a tremendous job.
There's something almost collegiate about that, Right, because really
which college?
Not Syracuse. I can tell you that as a graduate. I was there in the heydays of Syracuse, like when we had Don McPherson at quarterback, Marvin Harrison and Tommy Kane, who you probably don't know. Unfortunately, got in trouble with the law, but was a great wide receiver, and you know it was a great program. Obviously, not as great today.
We've had its ups and downs, right?
I think he's a good guy, yeah. And he's playing kind of with one arm tied behind his back because of NIL money and all that stuff right now.
Exactly.
Well, I say collegiate because I think there's an expectation, at least I would have it, that when you get to the NFL, now we're grown men and we're getting paid, and this is grown men's business here, where it's not my job as the coach to have that kind of conversation with you, where college it might be.
100%, because that coach came and sat in your living room and said to your mom and dad, right, I'm going to make him a better human being, even though that was bullshit, too. But right.
You get one.
Okay, I got one. Sorry, yeah. Bleep me
and you
out
brought
next
pizza,
time.
So I'll probably give you one other one.
All right, perfect, yeah. Perfect. And they say, hey, mom and dad, we're going to take care of your kid. When you get to the NFL, it's a job. And it's a cover-your-butt business. See, I learned I didn't curse on there that you second go.
Ass
time.
Is fine.
Okay, yeah. You can say that?
You can say ass.
All right, it's a cover-your-ass business, yeah, pro go. Sports. It's always you're answering to a billionaire or a private equity firm now, right, and someone has to be to blame. And it's not going to be me. It's got to be this guy. It's got to be that guy. And the coaches that are bigger than that don't care, hey, put the blame on me.
Yeah.
It shoulders a lot of that blame for the rest of the organization, and that's what I think why Tom Coughlin was so successful here.
Yeah. You played through a tough decade of Giants football. Not all of it with the Giants. You obviously went out to Arizona. Came back to the Giants at the very end, for a cup of coffee. If you could put your finger on what was the biggest issue, was it just we hired the wrong head coach? Was it an ownership thing? Was it, hey, look, every team kind of runs its course. You have a decade of goodness, a couple Super Bowls, and just the natural order of things is you're going to stink for a little while. Like, what did you ever put your finger on it?
I think, obviously, everything in the NFL starts with having the quarterback, right?
And for sure.
The Giants transitioning from the end of Eli into the what was next obviously didn't go the way that everyone wanted it to go. And so there were some down years there. I look at the offensive line. When I got there, I was drafted to replace one of the five, you know, stud offensive linemen that had been there for a decade straight. The Chris Knees, the Dave Deals, the David Boss, Kevin Booth.
Right.
You know, all of them left in 1 year. So you lose all five of your starting offensive linemen. Eli's trying to communicate with a bunch of young guys.
You guys have no idea what's going on.
We're trying to learn this new Kevin Gilbride system. Then we bring in Ben McAdoo. Then Tom Coughlin gets fired. There's so much overturn there that obviously things didn't go the way it was supposed to. And then, you know, look, we went out and spent a bunch of money in free agency. We make the playoffs that 1 year, the infamous boat trip year.
Yes.
And I'm thinking things are starting to turn around. Then you have injuries.
Stop there for a sec. I've had lengthy conversations with Victor Cruz, who's a dear friend, about the boat. Number one, people should know, they didn't organize wearing Timberlands. That's one of the things that get added out.
That was just serendipitous.
It just kind of happened. Like, matter of fact, Victor's told the story to me, I think on air, so I hope I'm not speaking out of school, that like one of the guys didn't even have shoes with him. And was wearing someone else's Timberlands. In any event, when you got wind, because you were not on that boat.
Or was I?
You were not. I know you're not. Justin Bieber said he never met you.
Oh, come on, Biebs.
When you guys got wind of that, because we obviously hit the radio station, everywhere else, blew that so out of proportion because you lose to Green Bay, obviously, that next week. What was your initial reaction to it? Like, bunch of knuckleheads, what are we doing? Or like, what's the big deal?
Look, NFL players like to have fun. Look back through the course of time. You go out and play on Sundays, and you go out and have a good time after the game.
I mean, we all expect that's the lifestyle. That's what we would do, right?
And we just had made the playoffs for the first time since the Super Bowl. We got Eli Manning. Like, in my head, I'm like, I'm about to see playoff Eli.
Right.
Like, we're going to win this thing is what I was thinking in my head. I think you have to go back to Odell's rookie year to realize the sensation that he was in New York and the world. Like, I don't think at that point there was a bigger superstar in sport than, you know, I probably have Kobe and LeBron, but Odell was in the top five. Odell was the biggest, even with Tom Brady.
Yes.
Odell was the biggest
star
in sport.
He actually changed the way every kid in America goes out there and tries to catch a football.
Even in, you go to Germany and these kids got their hair dyed.
Not just that, it's because I started a flag football league down in Tribeca when I lived in the city. My kids were at that age, and we'd go out in the field. And every kid now, all of a sudden, if you can't make a one-handed grab, you can't play football.
Like, exactly.
No, for real.
So the fact that it was Odell, the fact that we're in New York City, there's only one or two other markets that have this type of magnitude on like living, breathing by the team. But also, it's so hard to win in New York for all those reasons that it became a distraction to everyone. So we had to talk about it. And now it's all of a sudden we're not talking about the game. So from now on, I probably, when I try to reference that playoff game, what's a better way to say it so I don't have to talk about the boat trip?
You just ignore it completely.
But how do you like, the 2017? Yeah. Yeah. Your mind is like, what game is
you
that?
You can say it's the last time the Giants were any good. I can say it that way. Look, I've talked to Jeff Schwartz a lot about it.
Yeah.
So when Odell makes the catch against the Cowboys in that game, Jeff Schwartz is on the field.
Yeah.
All right. He has nothing at all to do with the play. And as a gift, he sent me a framed picture of the catch. And I go, it's just weird that you'd send that to me. Like, you have nothing to do. He goes, yeah, but I'm on the field.
I wasn't on the field.
And if you look close enough, he's on the field.
I wasn't on the field.
Why weren't you on the field for that?
I got hurt.
Oh, is that right?
I mean, look, the end of my Giants career was a back injury. That did me in.
Got it. Like a lower back injury?
Low back injury.
An old man kind of injury?
I'm going from left guard to right tackle because we're playing Aaron Donald. I got to play left guard. Then we're playing Von Miller. I got to go to right tackle.
Right.
And I get a game ball for we're playing the Broncos. I shut down Von Miller. Mike Tirico, our Syracuse guy, is giving me the game ball.
Right.
My back is donezo. And we're 0-something at the time. And it was the first win of the year, that game. And then I shut it down for the back. I was going into free agency. Thought I would come back to the Giants. And then Jerry Reese
and was
gets
it like,
fired.
No joke, like a six-year-old guy like across the lower back? Was that the that was the thing?
Epidural. And then I, you know.
Toradol before every game, that kind of thing?
Trying to make it happen.
Yeah. How many years off your life, you think, playing football like that? Like you look great. Like you walk great.
That's why I'm so into the health and wellness stuff now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, NFL is just money for health. That's what the game is. You trade your, depending on how much you value your health, you're trading it for those dollars.
By the way, most people would. You're a 22-year-old kid and someone goes, you have a chance of making $50 million and you might die at 80 and you limp as opposed to 90 and you don't limp. Who wouldn't sign up for that?
Sign me up. I'm still looking at the Giants roster like,
maybe I could play.
I could be the backup left guard. Yeah. I could be the backup left guard.
I can teach you what to do. Talking to Justin Pugh, I'm not sure, again, how much you're paying attention to this Giant team, but I can tell you on behalf of, I'm a Jet fan, but the Giant fan base. Yeah, I know. Thank you for that. The Giant fan base, I've never seen this before, and I started here in 2007, took a little break on a government-sponsored holiday, but I've never seen this Giant fan base so in love with the head coach the way you are with Harbaugh before he's coached a single game.
Well, we coached a single game for the Giants, right?
Yes. Like
he set such a standard. You were in Philadelphia. Was Harbaugh,
No.
He the special teams coordinator there? He was early 2000s maybe?
No, I was there in the 90s.
Yeah.
So I was in Philly 93 to 97, so I think I predate him.
So you saw Harbaugh go from Philadelphia to Baltimore, and you're like, oh, a special teams coach getting a job?
Right.
And then it just created I'm not going to call it a dynasty by any means.
No, because the only one won, and it didn't win was Lamar.
Yeah, so a very successful, though. You knew for the sure. Ravens were going to come in and going to compete. If you, as a player, you knew you were going into battle when you played against them. John Harbaugh is the first coach we've had since the Coughlin that is a larger than life. His resume does the speaking for him. If you're walking down the street and you're saying Harbaugh's not a good coach, you just don't know football then.
Agreed.
So if Harbaugh can't come in here and make this happen,
yeah,
it's a hard job.
Look, he's the best coach since Coughlin. Nobody can argue that. I even say that. I think he's great for Jackson Dart because of the experience with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, similar style game, and I'm not asking Jackson Dart to be Lamar Jackson. He's a two-time MVP, so that's not fair to Jackson Dart. But I like the similarities in the style of football that Jackson wants to play or seemingly wants to play. But I could also make an argument, and I have, and Giant fans hate it, that for a decade, you had Lamar Jackson as your quarterback. You went to one AFC championship game and lost it at home, albeit to the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. But there should have been a lot more success there, I think. Is that not fair?
Yeah, you're really splitting hairs once you get into those big games down the stretch.
Like
if you're a Giants fan right now, and everyone probably will say no because you don't win a Super Bowl. But if I told you you could have what the Ravens just had for the last 10 years, would you take it?
If you're a Giant fan, you have to take it. Because of the last
you're
10 years.
You're going to enjoy every regular season
you're in the playoffs every
game.
Year.
You're
right.
In the playoffs. Right. Everyone thinks, like, you would sign up for that. And I bet you, and I don't want to speak for ownership, but I will here. Just pretend like I own the team.
Yeah.
As an owner, you would take that.
Because you're relevant.
You're relevant.
Yeah.
And you're in the biggest media market in the world.
It's kind of like the Yankees. Haven't won a World Series, but you're relevant and in it every year. Now, the fan base at some point says enough's enough.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what happens, right?
Yes, yes.
But look at the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
Worth $15 billion.
I think haven't been past the second round in 20 years.
I think everyone would take John Harbaugh as what he did in Baltimore. Now, he's going to say, look, I'm a competitor. I need to win a Super Bowl. And everyone wants a Super Bowl. And seeing what just happened with the Knicks,
yes.
How could you not have that contagious energy? Even if you're not a Knicks fan.
No, you had to buy into it, though. Oh. And I'm a diehard Knicks fan, but the Knicks took over the city. And it was 53 years in between championships.
That's my biggest, and I got here two years after they won it. It's the saddest thing that I never got to win a Super Bowl. I mean, there's guys out there that barely even played a snap and have a ring on their finger and got to at least celebrate the parade.
Right.
So that part of me is like,
Are you a New Yorker now, or are you still a Philadelphia?
Oh, no, New York all the
way. So you're a Knicks fan over Sixers fan?
When I got drafted here, the Yankees invited me to throw out the first pitch.
Really?
The Knicks have me courtside. The Rangers have me.
Well, your first round draft pick, right.
I love New York City. I was saying this earlier. I'm not a top 100 Giant of all time. There's some legends.
For sure.
But I'm a top 100 on how much I love this city. Like I'll go to battle on.
Prior to getting married, and I'm not asking about women, I'm saying as a first round draft pick playing for the Giants, do you feel like you took advantage of everything New York City had to offer?
I could have done a better job when I was here on a business standpoint. And that's something that set myself up for life after football.
Right.
It's part of the reason I came back for that 11th year. Because being a New York Giant and walking around the world has like this meaning.
There's a gravitas to it.
And when you're a first round pick and you have that tie to this city, the world revolves around New York City, in my opinion. Again, everyone will have their thoughts on that. And to be a part of this organization in this city, it means something. And it meant something more to me.
I agree.
So for me, just walking down the street, Giant or Jet, whatever you are, I just love walking in the West Village, getting up early when no one's up in New York City, walking around, going to get the best pizza in the world, going to get the best bagel at Pop-Up.
Right.
I just love New York.
Could you have ever pulled off a Justin Tuck as a finance major and gone the Goldman Sachs route and actually got into finance, or was that off the table?
I'm a finance major by trade. My family's in the wealth management space. I do a business combine in conjunction with the NFL.
Like a financial literacy kind of program?
Yeah, exactly. It's called BizWeek. We do it here in New York.
Awesome.
And we teach guys about real estate and private equity.
Yeah. Because all of a sudden you take a lot of kids who come from nothing, and all of a sudden they've got generational wealth, and it's a lot to ask those kids to be smart with it. That's real.
You almost have to like have the CBA where we protect ourselves from ourselves. And so, yes, I'm getting into that business. The Italy thing was an investment that I made.
Right.
But what gets me excited to wake up every day is I'm not the X's and O's guys. You want to talk about the scheme and run game, bring another alignment on. If you want to talk about the business of sports, I'm your guy.
That's the thing.
I love it. I think it's the most important piece of the business.
I always wonder this. Are guys receptive to it or no?
Yes, especially
like
now.
They want to learn.
The issue is when they want to learn is typically when shit hits the fan.
Ooh, right.
When that's things it.
You got to curse.
Okay, I got to bring another. When things hit the fan, Pete, I'm sorry. When things hit the fan.
By the way, they have no idea the pizza you brought them as a pizza guy. It's the hardest pie to get in the city right now. They import the flour from a little village in Italy, right? And they were both like Port Charles chefs, all right? Which one of the top restaurants in all of New York City. And it took them, I think, 3 years to come up with the right flour and yeast blend to make that pizza, which you cannot get. That's how special that pizza is. Sorry to interrupt.
It is. Well, I had to go to Little Italy, right? I was looking for some Italians. I'm trying to see. I'm trying to recruit some Italians. We have a dual passport rule. You get some dual passports over there. But my whole thing is, my number one rule is the NFL is my number one partner. It's taken me this far. I'm a minnow to that whale.
Sure.
And when it comes to wealth management, I want to help my position, offensive lineman.
Okay.
So I've been batting around this idea, Tucks at Goldman. My uncle and I talk about this all the time. Can we just help offensive linemen? Guys that I know the position. We're the only position in all of like the world. Maybe you can think of another one. Sumo wrestling, probably. Where we're paid to be unhealthy.
Yes.
The bigger you are, they put you on that like...
That ain't competitive eaters, I guess, but they all seem small.
Yeah. Adam Richman's like, shut up, Justin. I'm paid to be unhealthy. So I think about that group specifically all the time because they're the guys that are now also making tremendous amount of capital.
Right.
And it's a real asset class that you can actually manage that capital. But it's Not only do you have to manage the money, you have to manage the purpose side. What do you wake up every day excited to do? Because you come into this job ready to go every day.
Every day. It's the only way to do it.
When you leave football, what are you passionate about?
Well, there's a void. Because let's be honest, you're also going to be out of a job when you're 35. What? Now, you can make extraordinary wealth in that 10 to 15 year period, more than most people ever imagine making in a lifetime. But you're a young man who's most likely done nothing else because you didn't have to. And now what do you do for the rest of your life?
And that is the biggest, it's like the chicken and the egg. What comes first? My whole thing is, hey, figure out, every NFL guy's like, I'm going to be my own boss when I'm done. I'm going to do my own. And you end up investing in the worst things in the world.
Which is why so many guys, believe it or not, lose all their money.
100%. Because you're investing in this friend's idea.
My buddy's got a restaurant idea. That's right. He's got whatever. Yeah, some stupid.
It just came out last week. There was a big issue that happened with like a bunch of players, and they all invested in this, and it was all over the place. So when I think about the finance portion, that's where I want to excel. Like Ndamukong Suh has one. Justin Tuck is the...
He was a Buffett guy.
I want to create and I'm working on this, a business of sports Hall of Fame. We make it live down at the New York Stock Exchange, and we induct guys like names you might not know. Kelvin Beachum. New York Jet, you better know Kelvin Beachum. Yeah. Kelvin Beachum is my first ballot Hall of Famer. You got the Michael Strahans, the Justin Tucks.
Guys who made money after football.
Or while playing. Kelvin Beachum's still playing year 15, runs his own venture fund.
Got it. I gotcha.
Some of the most successful guys off the field, I want to shine a spotlight on them. It's almost like the Walter Payton Man of the Year, but for business.
For finance. Yeah. The rest of the public would be like, enough. But you guys already made a lot of money. It's enough.
I don't want anyone out there actually. Yeah, you're not going to feel bad for us. Trust me. I'm not asking for that.
I know you got to take a break. Then you're going to play the wheel. Do you miss playing football?
No.
Not even a little bit.
I miss the guys. I miss
the fraternity of men.
I miss getting pizza. We used to get Prince Street pizza delivered out to Arizona. I know. And we would eat it together. We'd talk about life. I did O-line dinners at my house every Thursday. That's what I miss about the game. I don't miss blocking a D-lineman one.
What about day. Most guys I've talked to said the two things they miss most is what you just said, that fraternity of being with the guys, right, as often as you are and as close as you guys are. And then the second thing is for guys that get to the level you got to, you guys are very universal, are the most competitive people in the world. And a lot of guys struggle with, I need something to compete at. Do you find that same thing like you're may not struggling, but you're trying to find, look, I can only beat my wife in ping pong so many times. You know what I'm saying?
My neighbor down in Florida where I live now, me and him compete in this, High Rocks. It's a workout that guys do now. So whatever I can do to compete, I'm going to try to find a way. But I miss the community more than anything.
Yeah. Are you a pickleball guy now?
No, not pickleball. Golf, working out.
You any good at golf?
You know, Larry Fitzgerald, when I got to Arizona, said, you better be damn good at golf. So I'm a 7. I got down to as low as a 7. I'm a 10 right now.
Got it. So not bad. Yeah. All right. So you wouldn't beat me, but we could compete, which would be good for you.
Yeah. You don't like to give strokes, don't you? Do you?
If I'm a better golfer, I'll give you strokes.
My brother-in-law
doesn't
like that.
But if you're a 10, I'm not giving you strokes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
No. Like, once you get to a 10 or under, I don't care if you're playing against Phil Mickelson. You don't get strokes.
Hold on. If I'm a 10 and I'm playing Phil Mickelson, I'm getting
maybe on a par 5, you get a stroke. I'll give you that. But you're not playing with Phil Mickelson, so you'd have some balls to say to a guy.
Hold on now.
I get strokes.
I got to play with Jon Rahm.
Okay. He should give you strokes.
Jon Rahm. Yeah, he's like 11. He was like, I think he was like 12 under through 11.
I believe it. He's like a plus 30.
It was it was embarrassing. I had it.
Yeah. Those guys are like, if you ever want to be humbled, go play golf with it. Could be a country club pro. Yeah. It's a different sport for those guys.
Those guys are insane.
Everybody gets mad when I talk about golf because I don't play that much. It's just one of those things I'm naturally good at. So I got down to a 4 handicap, and it pisses people off.
Good for you.
They hate it.
Now, if I'm out there and I'm watching you how you're a 4, like if you just like have an awful swing and somehow you just get up there and get it down, would drive me insane.
You know, well, like if you have like that Jim Furyk swing, it's like it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. You're like, what, son of a bitch? Yeah. The best thing is when you play against a guy, because it's the only sport for some reason guys like to cheat at or lie about like their scores. As soon as you play with someone, you know hole one if they can golf or not. Like I played golf with Robert Saleh. I'll never forget the first time he and I met. It was at Trump Bedminster, all right? And I show up at the club, and he's waiting for me. And I get out of the car, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, look, people the Jets have told me, like, you're a scratch golfer, and I'm not going to be able to beat you. And he's like a 3.
Oh, is he?
And I go, everybody lied to you. Like, I'm not a scratch. I've never claimed to be a scratch golfer. But you're on the first hole, right? And you know on the first swing. And you always say to yourself, like, why would you lie to me about being a four or reverse it? Oh, man, I'm an 18. You know, they give me strokes and you're striping it. You're like 280 on every hole. It's like, it's the most obvious thing when you lie about it. I don't know why guys lie about it.
Hey, it's just one of those things. Everyone wants to be better than they are. They lift more than they can.
Yeah. It's like, how much you bet, Joe? 380. Yeah. I mean, look, you're not.
Come
you're
on,
not.
Man.
All right, so you're down to play the wheel, yeah?
I'm down to play the
Let
wheel.
Let me just give you the wheel topics today. And it's an actual wheel, so you know I'm not BSing you. Just so you can start preparing your brain, all right? The wheel topics today, guys. Mm-hmm. And you get to decide if you're going up against Peter or Anthony in there. Football movies is a topic.
Okay.
All right. The second topic is football terms is a topic.
Oh, my goodness.
Third topic would be Clint Eastwood movies. Okay. Oh. Not sure if you're a Clint Eastwood fan or not.
That's going to be a short game. Cook the books on that one. Let's go.
The fourth topic is things associated with Italy.
Well, we have an Italian out here. We have an Italian.
Yeah, by name only.
He's a bully.
And there's a surprise topic, which you'll find out if you land on it, okay?
I love that one.
That's the way that goes.
I hate you so much.
Yeah, Justin Pugh is here. We'll play the wheel. We'll get you ready for tonight's Jet game coming up in just a second. Coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Verizon loves small business owners. That's like you. And that's why Verizon business experts come directly to you so you can spend more time doing what you love. Their experts show up on your schedule, ready to offer proven expertise, to learn about the needs of your specific setup firsthand, and they don't quit until the solutions fit. As your business grows, all the tech grows right along with it. They're prepared for growth. But again, the best part is it's on your time, on your schedule, not on theirs. And when you tell them to be there, they'll show up, and you have a business expert walking you through all the solutions for all your needs. Go to Verizon.com/book today. Schedule an appointment with...
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.